Wow, that was awesome. Sure glad I married you. Praise Jesus. Well, get your Bibles out. Oh, come on, church. That wasn't very good at all. Get your Bibles out. Thank you, Jesus. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, this is our last Wednesday night of the month of April. I told y'all at the first Wednesday night of the month of April that I was believing God for great things to happen in y'all's lives this month, and y'all all agreed that you were going to do that, and that we were going to have a testimony night tonight, in case y'all forgot that. And so we're going to do an old-fashioned Pentecostal Holy Ghost throwdown testimony night in just a minute after I share a word with you. So if you weren't thinking about, you know, that, and I just told you, and you do have something that happened this month that's been really exciting, something God's done for you, something God spoke to you, then I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a minute to tell everybody, and somebody better have something. Second Corinthians chapter 10. You know, most of the times like that, what happens is everybody then, I just didn't want to get up and say anything, but this really was, you know, they'd send me an email on or something. I ain't going to do it like that. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, for the casting down of arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7. And war broke out in heaven, and Michael and the angel fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. And they did not prevail, nor was a place found in them in heaven or any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, that old called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world, who was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. You know, You can go over and read again in the book of Job, chapter 1. It talks about how the devil loves to accuse you. And what his favorite trick is in life is to get you to accuse yourself. Did you hear what I said? His greatest trick in life is to get you to accuse yourself. Because when you accuse yourself, you don't believe the blood of Jesus can cleanse you of all sin. And then your word of your testimony is null and void. Okay? It's like being called as a witness in a trial. And you're a witness and you saw what went on or what took place. You knew exactly what was going on. But then as you begin to come to the witness stand, you begin to you get all confused in your story and you begin to say, well, I don't know. I was I there or not there? I don't know what's going on. You know, really, you know, I think I have some kind of mental illness. I don't think I really know what I'm talking about or whatever. And before long, everybody said, man, your testimony, you know, you're crazy. Get off the stand. We're not going to listen to you. Are y'all with me? Have y'all ever been crazy and asked, get off the stand in your life? You know, when you're a blood-bought VIP, Holy Ghost Christian who's empowered by the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you and that God is living in you and somehow or another the devil can talk you out of that you're even worthy to die and go to heaven. Hello? It's because you set up court and you judge yourself by yourself, and it brings condemnation on yourself, and therefore it's the devil's greatest tool to take you into a place to where you're ineffective as a witness and as a testimony of the things of God. Hello? Anybody out there? It's a common thing. It happens to us all. Okay? The real key to walking in victory and success is doing what 2 Corinthians says, recognizing that we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting, you know, the issue that you're looking at. You're fighting principalities and powers that are really just trying to get you to give up, quit, condemn yourself, do whatever, so that you don't walk in the victory that's already yours. You see, the craziness about this whole situation is, it's like going into a fight in a boxing ring that it's already been declared you're the winner. And you're just going through the motions, you know. I'm dating myself here, but, you know, I like boxing. Okay. So, I mean, if you think that's terrible, then forgive me, but I like boxing. And my hero when I was a young man, was Sugar Ray Leonard, because he came out of the Olympics and he was great in the Olympics, you know, and he just swept everything because we went right in there in the, was it 80 or was it 70? It was the late 70s, wasn't it? It was, I can't remember what the year the Olympics was. But anyway, you know, if you know who Sugar Ray Leonard is, if you don't, well, you just go look him up on YouTube. And, you know, he was just this razzle-dazzle, you know, showboat kind of a guy, but man, he could punch, and he was just, and you just loved him, and he's like the all-American guy. Y'all with me? Oh, Maggie's shaking her head. She's a Sugar Ray Leonard fan. Way to go, Maggie. I knew I always liked you. Anyway, he fought Roberto Duran in 1980. And when he went to fight Roberto Duran, Roberto Duran's, whatever you want to call it, his, how they promoted him was that he had fists like rocks. And so this guy, Roberto Duran, if you ever saw him, this guy looked like the devil himself when he was young. He had this little beard and his cold black eyes, and he got in the ring and he absolutely, through all the promotions and everything, like that intimidated Sugar Ray Leonard, and he got in his head. And when the time came for the fight, instead of Sugar Ray fighting his fight like he was supposed to fight, like he was the razzle dazzle, run around and, you know, do all the things and, you know, put his head up front and act like, you know, and get into the other person's head, it switched over and he got in his head. And he lost that fight. And when you go back, I was watching the video the other day of it, and when you go back and you look at the fight, you could see he was all in his head. He hadn't even convinced a guy to say, you know, Duran was horrible. He was vile in this, you know, what he told him and what he said, whatever. And the point is that he got in his head. That he could have cleaned his plow, he could have won if he would have just fought his fight. But he didn't fight his fight. He let Duran get in his head, and then he tried to stand toe-to-toe with him and fight it out with this guy because he wanted everybody. He got in his head that everybody thought that he couldn't punch, and here he's fighting this guy that's got fists like rocks, and he wanted to stand there and fight him toe-to-toe, and he couldn't do it, and he lost the fight. And I'm sitting there looking at it, watching the video, and I was like, man, Jesus, that's not us. We already have the fight won. Our fight's won. There is no fight. It's just the enemy coming into our minds and our heads, convincing us that we don't have the authority to walk in what we're called to walk in. That the blood of Jesus didn't cleanse us of our sins. That the blood of Jesus didn't make us righteous and holy and pure. And as Corinthians says, that it made us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. We don't believe that. Are y'all with me? It says here that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the revelation of knowing who you are in Christ, knowing that you're a VIP, knowing that God has called you and has blessed you and anointed you and put himself inside you. And the minute the enemy comes in and says, well, who are you? You can't, what do you know? You know, and then before long, you got yourself out. And then before long, you're just standing there and just not fighting. You're not doing anything. There was a great minister, Smith Wigglesworth, in the early 1900s, and he in one of his biographies that I read and books that he had written, he tells the story of when the revelation came to him about the authority we have over Satan was when he went to a bus stop, and this lady had come to the bus stop too. And this is over in England, and her little chihuahua had followed her. Or it was a little dog. I think it was a chihuahua, but it's a little dog followed her. And she said to the dog, you know, whatever the dog's name was. I want to call it Fifi because I can't remember what the dog's name was. He said, Fifi, go home. And the little dog just, you know, backed up a little bit, you know, and then just came forward and she said, Fifi, go home. And the dog just, you know, just kind of backed up a little bit and just kind of, you know, did just what most dogs would do. And said, finally, in a minute, she said, Fifi, go home. She stomped her feet and kind of ran at the dog. And shoo, the little dog took off and went home. And he was sitting there watching the scene. And he said that he says, my God, that is how we're to deal with the devil. You know, but she tried it the nice version. She tried, you know, she's trying to be nice and trying to be nice. But when she got authoritative, the dog ran home. And what we do in life is we wrestle with principalities and powers, and we're really not supposed to wrestle with them. We're supposed to tell them to get out of there. We're supposed to stand up and say, why are you thinking like that? I still today do this. Sometimes if I'm having a thought go through my head of whatever, I'll go to the mirror and I'll look in the mirror and I said, stupid, what are you doing? As funny as you ever notice, you can't look at yourself in the mirror with, you know, look in both eyes in the mirror. I don't know why I can't do that. I want to, but I can only look at one eye. I want to look myself both my eyes in the eyes, you know, but I can't do that. I don't know if it's not possible or I'm just cockeyed or whatever. I don't know. But I'll look myself in the mirror and I'll say, what is the matter with you? You listen to me. What are you doing? What are you taking that thought for? Are you crazy? Jesus paid for you. And I have to talk to myself and I encourage myself and I speak to myself and I said, listen to me, you're going to quit that thinking. And then once I got my head on straight, then I know what to do. Go out there and say, look, devil, you're not going to mess with me anymore. This is the end of that. In church, it's time that we learn that we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but then we're going to overcome by the word of our testimony. And that word testimony there, it ties back into in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. And it ties back into the word as a martyr. Okay, in other words, sometimes I find it hard to believe that what Jesus did for me, I deserve it. And I have to die to my stupid thinking and take up the cross that he paid for me and carry it. Are you with me? See, we always think that dying as a martyr means, you know, like it's really bad and you just have to, you know, have somebody walk on you and you're the rug and they walk on you. You're the doormat. No. It means a lot of times is you have to stop your own foolish pride and your own stupid thinking and look at yourself and say, you know, I don't deserve it, but praise God, I'm in the game. Thank God there's grace and you did what you did for me. Thank God I am holy and unblameable and unreprovable in your sight, Lord. I love you for it. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to listen to myself. Myself has got to die. That's martyrdom. It's when you kill yourself and just believe what the word says is true. Now, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but like I was preaching Sunday, sometimes we do, in the sense, wrestle against flesh and blood, because if you've got people who are being the voice of the devil around you, speaking to you all the time, then you kind of have to wrestle that and get away from that. So in a sense, you are wrestling the flesh and blood. In that sense, you're not going to really wrestle them. You just got to get away from them. You got to quit listening to that garbage. Hello? You can't take that on. You can't listen to that. If you do, and you think you're strong enough to do it, I hate to tell you, you're wrong, and you will be defeated. Hello? There's another place of martyrdom. You know, sometimes you got to die to your friends. They're really not friends if they're not going to speak and encourage you to walk on the things of God. Right? They're really not friends. I want my friends to be standing on the sidelines screaming, "You can do it. Come on, my God. Pick yourself up. What are you doing?" Right? I want my friends to be throwing water on me, you know, not fire as I'm walking, and matches. I don't want to be running beside me with little spritz bottles and spritzing me in the face and trying to, you know, keep me going, feeding me granola bars or something. Not telling me you're not ever going to make it. Hello? Sometimes people are well-meaning and they're just trying to be sympathetic or something like that, but they just don't understand that they're just being the mouthpiece of the devil. You know, and you just kind of got to forgive them and say, "Well, God bless you." And cease and desist, Beelzebub. I once told a guy, he said something to me, and I was just kind of edgy that day, and I looked at him and I said, "Do you enjoy being the voice piece of the devil?" And it struck him, it's just like I hit him in the face with a wet rag. He says, "My gosh, I did say that. I'm sorry." And I was like, "Good. We learned something today. Then praise God. Don't ever talk to me like that again." You know, I was looking for some encouragement, and there was, you know, a jab or a poke. From that day forth, nothing's ever been said. You see, sometimes people just don't know what they're doing. All right? But you're gonna win in life by understanding the blood of the Lamb and getting your testimony right. Amen? That's how you're going to win in life. There's no other way to win. Is when you can stand up and you command and you speak right, you're going to see victory. Amen? Amen. Okay. Talked enough. Open mic Wednesday. So we on here? Okay. Who's got a testimony of something God's done for you in the month of April that you want to come up here and say what God has done? Come on, Jeannie.
I'm by faith moving forward here because when we were praying that first Wednesday, we just asked the Lord to fill me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went home, and the next few days I began to realize, because the Holy Spirit was showing me, how much negative thinking has been against me for years. And there's a stronghold. There has been a stronghold in my life, and it started, well, the Lord showed me one of the places it started when I was in high school. A reaction that my dad had when I was supposed to speak in front of a bunch of people. So this testimony is real important because it's buying back what happened to me at that point.
Come on,
when
now.
He caused all this negative thinking. I'll just say it that way. Love my dad, honor my dad, just one of those things where he had struggles of his own. So I praise the Lord that he is healing me. He is setting me free. He's telling me. It's like what Tracy said just briefly. She gave us a little taste of what she's going to teach. It's like the Lord showed me how much of my subconscious, all my life, I've heard negative things. And so he's bringing all of it up, and he's giving me a chance to have victory because he's the breaker of strongholds.
Awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. Praise God. Who's next?
I've had lots of miracles in my life. God's had his hand on me through all my escapades and all the things that I've been through. But I'm going to be 76 this summer, and he's still teaching me. I just want to, it's a miracle that the things I've been learning in the last few years, I say even this year, is that my thinking, I've always stood back and watched people and thought, you know. And in the scriptures, he's just been showing me. I've judged people. And sometimes I see people that need a compliment, or they look nice, or I think maybe they need some help, maybe to be prayed for. And I just never stepped out and did anything because I've been behind my wall. And he just has been convicting me that I need, instead of me thinking what they're thinking of me, that I need to reach out to them. And for me to still be learning, it's just kind of like peeling little layers of onions off over these years, because I'm so strong in my own self that it was hard to be willing to let him move in my life and change me. And he's changed my thinking. He's changed me in so many ways that to forgive, and that's a miracle.
Amen. Praise God. Who's next? Come on, Arnold. Okay.
I shared this with some of the people in the back row a couple Wednesday nights ago, that this month, 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And praise God, they're great.
Amen. This month.
This month, 2 years ago. I thank God for you guys here in this church. Prayer changes.
Amen.
And I've got a different outlook on people that are lost. You know, I pray for them. I want them to know my Jesus.
Amen.
And,
awesome.
It is. And I just look at people different now.
Praise God.
Thank you.
I didn't know that was this month. Awesome, man. Yeah. Praise God.
Who else? Okay, I wasn't going to come up here.
You were going to be one of those. Huh?
Yes, I was going to be one of those. It didn't happen in April, but God's been working on me with the same thing for a couple of months and showing me a lot of stuff. And it's just... it seems like it's something going on in the air right now. God is just changing everyone's thinking. And I'm telling you, it's where you have to grasp a hold of in order to get your life in order and in alignment with the kingdom of God. Because if you can't, then you're lost. Anyways, so I have like 5 minutes between my house and work, because I work at Utopia Silver, and I was driving up there one day, and I always listen to K-Love Christian radio station, and this song came on, and it was just like hit me in the forehead, because I had been extremely just angry and bitter, and just my whole entire day was just full of anger. I just couldn't even get outside. Sometimes I couldn't even go outside the door because I was just such a state of anger. And God told me, you know, you would not just sit on your couch and let insurgents bust down your door and just take everything you have. He said you would fight them to the death. You would fight them until there was nothing left of you to fight. And you would die for everything that you have. But you will not do that for the thoughts that come in your mind that aren't from me. And I just had this like realization that I was letting insurgents just come in my head and just tell me all these stupid false things that weren't even true and just ruin my whole entire day. And so I started working on that, and every thought that I had, I would take it captive, you know, and I would say, no, I rebuke you, thought. I'm not thinking of you. I'm thinking of something good and awesome and about God, and, you know, and then it was crazy because it takes consistency.
That's right.
to get that going. And so I started noticing myself wanting to, but like fighting with myself for it. And God then started bringing out a lot of showing me I had so much pride that I was like, I thought I was the least prideful person. And of course I was the most prideful person. And so, but he taught me that to overcome that pride, I have to be obedient to him. And obedience was him dragging me while I was kicking and screaming, you know, but
awesome.
I'm finally getting it. And I'm still have a long way to go, but I just wanted to encourage everybody to just don't let those thoughts take you captive, because they can ruin some of the most beautiful days that you have to just enjoy God's like beauty and everything he's given us. And anyways, so God's changing the winds on our minds.
Amen. So. That's awesome. I like that. Come on over here, Chad. Oh, you were too late, Frankie. You were too slow getting out of that chair.
There it is. Keep me down there.
Young man beat you to the punch.
I'm going to sit.
Go ahead.
Y'all looking at a guy that didn't have a good example growing up, and I think being a young man, you try to find the way that's good and fun and everybody likes you for, and yeah, it led to a path of drinking and partying and carrying on. Well, life goes on. You grow up a little bit. You kind of get a handle on things. And you ever think that you know what's better for you? You know, God's telling you something. Like, I got this. Just, you know, I got this. Just back off. You know? Well, living a pretty good life. I've been married to an angel for almost 3 years. I think, you know, we tithe, and God has shown how he honored your obedience time and time again. So, trying to be a good leader for my wife. God, show me what's keeping me from you. I want to go to wherever the next level is. Help me become sanctified. And he kept telling me the same thing. You know? Quit drinking. Nah, show me something else. You know? Quit drinking. Nah, I thought pride. I could work on pride a little bit. Because, you know, it's not a problem. It's like a few beers every now and then. It's all right. Kind of feels good after a hard day. Well, he made it clear, and I finally said, okay, it's yours. It's yours. No more. I want to be obedient. I want to go to the next level. He's delivered me from that. And going back to how God honors your obedience, I found out that day that we're going to have a baby.
Yeah. Woo!
I just want to testify that God is good, and the power of God is just can't be denied.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Congratulations. Come on, Frankie.
Well, I wouldn't do it, but everybody's been talking about how their thoughts are so messed up. Nobody else has that in here. You know, I was last in my class. Actually, I fought another guy for last, and that did something to me for years. And even though I was the first one to graduate from college, all I could think about was being last in my class, you know. But that was because of war. I had a good motivator. But anyhow, you've heard this. Another day, Tracy announced that I had the book. And I am promoting my book. And I'm not promoting it because it's mine. I'm promoting it because God told me last Wednesday night, are you ashamed of the gospel? No. Are you ashamed of me? I said, no. Are you ashamed of what I'm doing through you? Well, I don't know, Lord. So he said, you can't be ashamed or you can't promote the gospel. I said, how will they know? And let's preach to them. He said, my word is preached in your book. I said, okay. So my son tells my wife that dad has gone crazy. He's like bold as a lion. So, you know, if I come up and ask you, you bought one of my books, it's not because I'm trying to make money. It's because I want you to have the book. And if you don't have the money, I'll give it to you. But I'd rather have the money than I can buy more. But anyhow, I want to tell you how this came about. 14 years ago at the Methodist Church, you had a beacon, and a lady, this is how the Holy Ghost works. A lady came up to me and said, I think you're supposed to write stories for the newsletter. I said, well, I've never written anything. When I did write, I cheated. So, you know, yeah, I heard you say that the other day. I'm like, so anyhow, I said, I'll pray about it. Sure enough, the day before it needed to be in, I wrote a story. And for 2 years at the Methodist Church, God gave me a story sometime before it was due. And then 2 years over here in the newsletter we had, he gave me a story right before they were due. I wrote them on cow books. I wrote them in newspaper backs. I wrote them on feed sacks with grease on them. Wrote them on paper towels in the cafe. I pull over the side of the road, wherever God gave them to me. So I can't really take credit for it because I just wrote them when he gave them to me. Darlene straightened them out, and Johnny straightened them out better, and then Darlene straightened them out again, and they're in the book. But for 10 years, it sat there, and the Lord told me 3 times, put it in a book. And I talked to Robert about putting in a book. I talked to David Cook. I talked to Ann Knox. Johnny talked to publishers, different things, and nothing. So about 2 months ago, I finally said, Lord, if you want me to put this in a book, you're going to have to raise somebody up to do it. Because I don't know how to do it. I don't want to spend that much money. And so y'all know that Johnny writes books, children books, and has another book out. Well, he got frustrated and started his own publishing company about 2 months ago. And he called me, hey, Frankie, I want to do your book for you. So God raised up Johnny to do the book. Johnny's the publishing company that did the book. But all of this is 14 years up to this point, and the book is for a purpose. And anytime you buy one in the bookstore, it helps orphans or whatever Robert wants to do with it in a water hole. That's his business. But anyhow, took my mother to the doctor 2 weeks ago to have a procedure done in her heart, and we were down at Texana Hospital early, like 6:30 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And she goes in, and we're sitting in the waiting room, and this girl comes out, and another couple with her, and she's kind of upset, you could tell, and she has tattoos all over her chest and her arms, and I would say somewhere between 30 and 40, probably 35, 38. And I'm reading one of the stories, because I hadn't read them in a long time, and I'm reading The Worn-Out Seed Drill. If you hadn't read it, it's pretty cool. It's a true story. Anyhow, and the Lord speaks to me and says, I want you to give that book to that girl. Well, this is the proof copy that Darlene went through and fixed all the mistakes and, you know, punctuations and marked it and did all that. And in the back, it has big letters, proof, written on it. So I'm there, and the Lord says, again, I want you to give that book to that girl. And I said, well, Lord, this is the book I wanted to put in a frame, put on the wall. It's been 14 years getting here. And he says, exactly, it's not your trophy, it's mine. So I want you to give it to that girl. So I go over, try to get Darlene to talk me out of it. She wouldn't. So I went over, I said, excuse me, ma'am. I said, I don't know why, but I believe the Lord. I just wrote this book. It's first copy. It's full of flaws and errors, mistakes, kind of what she was signifying. Not that if you have a tattoo, you made a mistake. But anyhow, I looked down, and she was reading the Bible. And the name of it is Parables of a Rancher's Life. And she saw the title on the book, and she was reading parables. And the Holy Ghost must have hit her, and she stood up and started crying and gave me a hug. And I'm like, okay, thank you. So I went out and sat down, and the people came in and said, where'd you get that book? I said, well, that man gave it to me. And he saw it, and she's crying, and he says, it's parables, just what I'm reading. He turns around and gives me a thumbs up. So I'm like, okay, good. So anyhow, time goes on. And I go back after about an hour or so later, and I just said, I don't want to bother you, but I can tell that God is really rocking your world right now. And you're a brand new Christian, right? She says, yeah. I said, well, I want to tell you, because this kind of gets me. 14 years, and that's what this whole thing's about. 14 years I started this stories that God was giving me, and it's set for 10 years, for this time and this place with the copy that's full of mistakes and errors like we are, for a brand new Christian, a brand new book, to show you how much God loves you. And I turned over the back page, and here's the proof. She starts crying again, stands up, hugs me, and that's when I thought, okay, don't be ashamed of what God's doing in your life. If you're ashamed, he'll be ashamed of you. So it's no different than telling, when I give somebody that book, I'm just telling them what Jesus showed me. And that's all that's about. And so if you start running away from me when I come, I'll realize I'm getting a little too bold. And I have cleared a few out already. But anyhow, never question what God's doing in your life. He can do more than you can ask or imagine.
Amen, 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 amen. Well, come on, Lucas.
Y'all need to realize what this is going to cost me before I get home tonight. In 42 years, I've probably had as many miracles come before me that I didn't catch until years later that's what happened.
Right.
And so I came countless times. Had a great life, no issues. But my wife and I have an unspoken issue in our marriage in the evenings. And that's, I guess you could put it correctly, her nasal allergy to our bed. She snores a little bit. So I can't ever go to sleep. She gets a snoring, and I'm up till midnight. I got to be almost dead before I fall asleep. So I come home late. She's in bed already. Take a shower, get in bed, and I start to pray, and I can't even think a complete sentence to pray. And this proved that, and I'm sitting there, I said, God, can you at least make her quit so I can finish a sentence in prayer? And all of a sudden, it's silent.
Hallelujah.
The whole house is silent. You couldn't hear anything. And I get to laughing, and I'm thinking the one time in my life that I actually hear God speak to me, and I ask for him to make my wife quit snoring.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I could have come up with something better than that. But I just thought the first time in my life that I actually can say God spoke to me, I asked him to make my wife quit snoring.
There you go. Amen. We just saw it happen. Praise God. You start there, go from there. Glory to God. Amen. You got to love him, Kim. Praise God. Well, praise God. Well, that's good. Good testimonies. Good testimonies. Praise God. Well, let's take up our offering tonight. In an envelope. They'll get you one. There's something I was going to tell everybody. Oh. Okay. Memorial Day is the 25th. May 25th. I believe. Yes. And we again are having the The Memorial Day bull riding in Uvalde is going to be that weekend, the Saturday of the 24th, right? And then Sunday, I'm preaching the church service. And so we've done this for 3 years now. The first year, I closed the church down and told everybody to go to church over there, and we all went over there and did that. And then the second year, we didn't close the church service down here, and I went over there and preached, and everybody kind of split up. But I think this year, as I was talking to the guys, and we're getting that all going, and the flyers are getting put out and all that kind of stuff like that, but I really think that we all need to just go to church over there on Sunday and fill that place up. Bring people with us and go to the arena and have church. And so that's what our plan is right now. So that'll be the 25th at Memorial Day. So start thinking about who you could invite, who you make you get over there. We're not going to have a lot of bulls that we're going to buck out. We're only going to buck out 4 bulls and then preach and have some testimonies and some good things going on. So and also, I want to start making plans because I want a prayer team there. Because last year when I was there, I was overwhelmed by how many people came up at the end of the service and wanted prayer. And I was a little unprepared for it because there were so many of them, it was hard for me to pray for everybody. And so this year we need to really be geared up with the prayer team to go over there. I'm going to start doing some advertising on the radio, doing some different things to get this thing all kicked off and going off. And we've got a meeting on Friday, and I'll be bringing flyers up, and we can really push this thing. But so we want to see that Sunday service go big this year. Amen? Amen. So anyway, that was what I was going to tell y'all. So praise God. So if you have your offering, put your hand on your offering. Let me pray over it. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I declare these the most blessed people on the face of the earth. But Lord, bless them some more. I declare that in Luke 25:21, you said the commanded blessing of God is upon our lives. And so I just declare, Lord, just command the blessings to come out of the woodworks and everywhere, every form and every fashion into their lives, Lord. And we just give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, also, Mother's Day on the 11th, is it the Sunday the 11th or Sunday the 12th? Sunday the 11th, Mother's Day, Bethany and Andrew are going to be here preaching, and so they're going to be coming in. I don't know if some of y'all are kept up with Ivan's Facebook and all that kind of stuff, but Kendra, his younger daughter, had her baby, and everything is great and doing good, and everybody's healthy and happy and whole. So praise God for that. So stand to your feet. Look at the person around you and say, boy, I'm glad I came to church. Grab that person's hand. Father, I just thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles. I just thank you, Lord, for just blessing people tonight. That as we go out and go out into the world, Lord, for the rest of this week, I just thank you for giving us people to minister to speak to Lord, just encourage in every place that we are. And I just declare that we have hold of the strongholds of our life, and that we're gaining ground every day and walking in more and more and more victory. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.